Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the You Got a Minute Fam podcast. I am your host, the Commish. And for one brief month a year, Captain Blackness. I was.
You're not even good.
I was a king. What'd you say, sir?
I said, you're not even good at that for the 1 year or 1 month a year.
Yeah, for 3 weeks. I'm a little tired of shit now. But I was good for about 3 weeks. I'm a little tired of it. I can't find black people. I'm a little tired. That's why Matt did what he did. He smelled the weakness. I said I was tired. He just jumped in.
I know. I like Matt. So that's the only reason why I let it rock.
I said, dude, I was tired of black people. I wasn't just tired. I was just tired of dealing with black people.
We almost made it the whole month. The reason why they made it 28 days is not because it was a slight at black people. That's literally the tolerance level for white people.
That's all they can do. Yep.
28 days. They like
sure. I know you hear the pandering word. It's 28 days, bro. Y'all got every day. That's like me getting mad at a woman's day. Like we pee standing up. It's fine. After
President's Day, it's back to your regularly scheduled. Yeah,
we don't need a man's day. Every day is man's day. We don't have kids. We get more money.
Ladies, I have nothing to do with this statement. Nothing.
We're strong. We got upper body strength. Like God blessed us every day.
Nothing to do with this statement.
Adam and Eve, baby. Adam. Rib, side. Can I get an amen?
No.
And God, they spit in the dirt. Spit in the mud, Brody. I can't remember if that's real or not. I might be mixing my stories, but it's been a long day. Getting to what we're doing, sports. I don't understand how you can, even in Black History Month, how you can cape for Juwan Howard.
What do you mean, smack his mouth, man? What are you talking about? He smacked the white man across the mouth, man, because he was disrespectful. I'm gonna always support that
long
shit.
Long white man.
He could do it in March. He could do it in April, May, June, July. It don't matter. I'm always gonna support that energy, bro. It don't matter. You know what? That's what he get for running his mouth, for being too close to the fire, yo. You should have had your hands up.
Now I've rewound it a couple times, but I didn't give it the full breakdown. But the coach, the other coach, who were they playing?
They're playing Wisconsin.
Wisconsin, which Joe is the game ball of the week, what he said. It was funny. I don't know if you saw that, but we'll get to that later.
Yeah, I saw it.
But the coach said Juwan Howard actually made first contact because he asked him to stop, and then he touched. It looked to me, it was hard to tell, but the coach for Wisconsin initiated, well, you can't say that.
No, yes, I can. Listen, man, listen. Juwan Howard was already upset. He didn't want to go through the line in the first place, but they made him go through the line. So he already coming in on all bullshit. He already mad. He tells his man, before he even get close enough to shake hands, he tells him, I'm going to remember that shit. Exact quote. I'm going to remember
that. And that should have been it.
But
that does start the altercation, too.
The coach grabbed him by the arm and was like, excuse me, or something like that, trying to get him to clarify what he said. And Juwan then said, don't touch me, don't fucking touch me. And then grabbed the coach by like his shirt and was like, don't put your hands on me. And then they got separated and then they was yapping. And I'm in all my history of blackness, anytime a black man smack you in the face, it's because you're being disrespectful. And then some people in some cultures, I would assume that they take it a certain way. Back in the day, you know, they make that joke, when you got smacked, I challenge you.
Yeah, the backhand with the glove.
When an old school black man smack you, when anybody over the age of 50 smack you in the face, they just don't respect you.
Yeah,
they don't care.
Level of respect. Yeah. If a black man smacks you, that just means, I can't even say, we're not that kind of podcast.
Nah, you a bitch. That's what it means. That's what he said to you, that you a bitch. And that you're not worth his time to close his fist and hit you. And that's what he did. And in all honesty, if a dude like Juwan smack you and you that assistant coach, clearly who ain't about that life, he did you a favor. He could have just hit you right in your mouth. He just smacked
you. Big guy still. Yeah. But on the other side, I see fault on both. You never can hit somebody as a coach.
Yeah, you're right.
But what got me, especially in February, coach for Wisconsin said,
maybe he doesn't know the rule, and I was trying to explain to him.
Yeah, all right.
See, that was what it was. That's what. So I don't care that they didn't have, you only had 4 seconds to cross. The game was over, so it wasn't necessary to call a timeout. Now, I also understand that Juwan Howard shouldn't have still been pressing if the game was over. I don't believe in the late game etiquette. When I coached, I asked for no quarter and I gave no quarter. So if I felt good about it, I let call the dogs off. But if you were a bastard at any time I knew you or you played you another time, I put it on you. So I don't expect those little rules of engagement because it is what it is. You run it up on me, like Juwan said, I remember that. I'm going to get you back one day.
Yeah.
But and I only have to tell you that. I'm just going to do it. But for him to press and for him to call a timeout because he said for everybody just taking themselves too seriously. That's what I see. The game was over. One guy pressing. One guy calling the timeout so his guys won't get an 8 second or 10 second violation now. I don't know what they changed to a college. Everybody's taking themselves a little bit too seriously, but you cannot hit somebody as a coach, man. You just can't.
I hear you, but as a person who's been in fights at funerals, weddings, in the middle of altar call at my dad's church, all that good stuff, I'm going to tell you right now, man, if you disrespect me to the point where I feel like I got to put hands on you, I'm going to put hands on you, just deal with the consequences later. Fuck it. And that's how Juwan felt, and I understand that energy. But yes, you shouldn't do that, but you did. And so since we are here, oh, well, next time be respectful, man. Just the man said don't touch him. Like, literally, a grown man tells don't you not people. To touch yeah, him.
I understand.
I don't even care.
I'm not saying it couldn't have happened to me, but I'm just saying.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, if I'm mad and I tell you don't touch me, I'm only going to tell you once. Juwan told him twice, so that's good. That's better than me.
You're lucky he didn't get the two-piece, like, right when they were close, that it was, yeah, like, after the thing was over. But so,
but the real issue outside of him swinging as a coach is that he incites his young players.
Yeah, yeah, that's fight. What I'm saying. It,
yeah, that would
that's
be
what somebody issue. In the comments said. You can't have a coach or start a melee, and that was a black person. Like, you can't start yeah. a you can, the coach can't set off a fight.
Yeah, the coach can't spark it. You're right.
that's what it went off at. The coach can't spark it. And by him actually letting him separate and then swinging it made it worse than if it was just, remember when the two football coaches fought? It was like Detroit, it was Schwartz maybe, and somebody else, and it was like a little something because his handshake was too, it was vague to
too
me.
Too rough, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it was like, so it was something like that. But you can't, coaches can't go, bro. You just can't do it, but especially with college. But I understand, and they slapped on the wrist anyway. How many games are left? The tournament's coming up. So
I mean, they did him a favor for this. I mean, I'll be real about that. That's
the NBA 75 list came out. I think we're going to do a podcast, maybe Joe and I. Maybe
Corey. I was going to say, I'm not on that shit.
No, you're not invited. It's NBA history podcast, sir.
Yeah, talk about that shit.
And then maybe one of the, maybe John Washington, if we can get him on there. But so we might do that. But there was so much petty and drama and fun at the actual announcement during the All-Star break. I'm assuming it was the halftime of the All-Star game, probably, maybe.
I didn't watch.
I didn't watch it either, but I saw the highlights. I'm assuming they didn't do it after the game. They might have done it during the game. I don't know. But anyway, they did it. First moment of petty, even though they took a picture after, but first moment of petty, KG definitely looked bothered when Ray Allen didn't dap him up and he dapped up LeBron.
Oh yeah. He did. And I thought, like I said, on the thread, I thought that shit was over, but apparently not. And just cause you take a picture, man, bro, I stand beside people and smile for the camera too. And then turn around and be like, yo, get the fuck away from me.
I kind of saw for the first time. I was always like KG is really petty, but he looked a little hurt. He looked a little hurt when he saw that. Like, he get like stiff upper lip kind of joke, just look to the side, kind of like if your husband cheated on you, and even though he divorced you, and y'all did some graduation or kids thing, and he said hi to the second wife or something like that, or and you had to see it, like, y'all might still be cool, but it hurt your feelings. Like, they thought they had this great thing in Boston, and thought they had this brotherhood, and he left and went to the enemy, and somebody like KG just takes that personally. I say it's business and you just get past it. But I finally saw, man, I look like he had to get that stiff upper lip when he saw that, man.
I mean, it's a little like I understand Ray Allen's perspective if some of the rumors of their tenure Rondo was true. Yeah, it was the Rondo issue and things like that. He felt like they didn't have his back anymore. And I understand KG's thing too, where LeBron was an obstacle, like Kobe was an obstacle, and you go to the obstacle and then you turn around and have success with that obstacle, that kind of hurts a little bit more. Also, you know, Boston and KG and them kind of got a taken on the chin too, because they pretty much thought Ray Allen was done. They kind of wrote him off, kind of pushed him out of the offense a little, and then he goes into Miami and he's got a decent role and ends up being like super clutch for them. So it is a little bit of some spite there, and it probably does burn.
But all this time, you got to let it go.
Yeah, but you should also.
Winning the championship should supersede what happened after you won a championship.
I think you the one that dapped LeBron up first. So, I mean, what you want me to do about that? Like, what am I supposed to react? How am I supposed to react to that?
Yeah. You put up a funny one that I hadn't seen yet. If you want to describe it, but it involved Isaiah, Magic, and MJ.
Oh yeah, that was what's his name? I think had posted it after me too. Dupree had posted it after me, but it was so it looks like Magic and Jordan were hanging out. They're the coolest kids on the campus at that 75, and Isaiah, Magic obviously are still good friends. And so Zeke comes up to approach Magic to hug and, I guess, talk or say something. And Jordan takes a step back because he knows that Isaiah Thomas don't like him. He kind of gives him some distance, but he's literally smirking the entire time. like just smirking, like he knows he gets under Isaiah's skin. So I don't know what Isaiah says to Magic, but you know, Magic's looking like, yeah, we still good, man. We good. And when Isaiah turns around and leaves, never makes eye contact with Jordan, who is obviously looking at him and smirking, walks away, and Magic says something, and I've been ad-libbing it, but I'm pretty sure he says something to the effect of, you know, this nigga don't like you, right? and Jordan, you can look at his body language. He's like, so? Good. Whatever, I'm like, that's either. The hell with him. And then, you know, Magic doing what Magic do, probably telling him, like, bro, you got to let that thing go, man. You won. You won. It's over. And Jordan's like, it's never over. I'll never let it go. And it's definitely funny. Because just that idea that they still have this beef, like years, I mean, decades and decades, man. Like, damn, both of you should be happy. Zeke got his rings, he's got a good legacy. But to and, you know,
dream team thing always
one hurt. Rare time that I will defend or come more Zeke than Jordan. The stain on his legacy, the things that people think about him, the perception of him as a basketball player, it takes a hit because of how Michael Jordan talks about everything that happened and how he didn't get on the Dream Team. His fucking coach was the coach of the Dream Team. He won two ships with this man.
His coach was there, bro. His coach only ran the on-the-court stuff, bro.
I don't care, yo. That's tough, man. That's really tough. That is tough. I love Daly, but damn, that's tough. Like,
you want that job, man. You get a chance to coach the Dream Team, or you let Isaiah go.
I know. That's tough.
I never once heard. I've looked at documentaries, read books about it, listened to a podcast series about it, and I never once heard Chuck Daly advocated for Isaiah.
No,
I never heard anybody say that.
I've never heard it either. And I'm well-versed on the Dream Team and probably watched some of the same stuff that you watch, listen to the same podcast. And yeah, even, you know, I've been a fan of Chuck Daly as a coach and like, you know, listening to sound bites from interviews he's done and things like that. Like, he was all in on this Dream Team, man. And it was like Isaiah who, which I mean, it got to burn this man a little bit. And that's unfortunate. But the video that I did post was actually your boy Magic caressing Steph Curry's shoulders, which he did a lot of caressing of
people's shoulders. I didn't see that, but I'm not surprised.
No, I'm sure you didn't. You always seem to miss these clear indications that your man's is different.
Well, I mean, I don't think he got into the alleged condition that he was in just by.
We are not the Joe Rogan, Rush Limbaugh podcast.
No, I'm just saying.
I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. How
he got where he got. That's all I'm saying. All I'm saying, man, Isaiah told the truth about the Bay. Look, that's what you want to do.
He kissed him on the lips, man.
But yeah, I don't know why he did that.
I can't wait to see
Isaiah still tell the truth.
I can't wait to see this Laker documentary, man. I want to know if they're going to tell the truth.
Well, it's a show, which makes it kind of crazier. It's a regular show. So you know they're going to put a lot on it. I mean, it's HBO. They got to go all out. Hopefully nobody associated with the Lakers is really like, unless it's somebody like maybe Jerry West with an axe to grind or something like that. But you can't have like Magic being an executive producer because they're not gonna tell the truth. I need to see the truth.
From the bits that I've seen, it's a lot in there that's truer than I think.
Like, you know, Genie, like there could be some stuff in there that's not flattering for anybody. So these people still alive. So it could be rough if they do it the right way. So also it was good to see LeBron and Jordan have that moment. They're not, you know, they're obviously not close, but the respect that they have for one another. And that was the first time I felt like Jordan let LeBron in the club. Like, he knew LeBron was in that club of all-time greats, but that formal situation and how happy Jordan was to embrace him was. Now, obviously, if you look at the hug, like, LeBron got his fist clenched and he kind of beating Jordan on the back. So it meant a little bit more to LeBron, but it was like, dad, I remember my grandfather let me sit at the grown folks table. It was like a monumental day. He's like, son, you can come sit with us. You don't have to go to the kids table.
I mean, if there was any actual perceived animosity between them, it was just because look at how Jordan came up. He had to go through some fire before they accepted him. And it's just tough love. I mean, he did it to Kobe. He did it. Yeah. I mean, most greats are going to do that to you. Like, that's the path to greatness, is to earn the respect, not like publicly people are going to give you your flowers, et cetera, et cetera. But the admiration of peers and those that came before you has to be earned. There's a rite of passage. Uh-huh. And LeBron has definitely earned that regardless of what people think. And I'm one of the people that don't think LeBron's better than Jordan, but goddamn it, he is great. And he definitely deserves to be recognized for said greatness. And I'm happy Jordan did that. And honestly, if you think about it, Jordan never really said anything truly negative about this generation of basketball. Like,
he doesn't.
Yeah, people took it as negative, like the little bit he said about about like Curry and them, but there's still a level of admiration for him. You watch him as an owner watching the games. He's not telling LaMelo he needs to slow down or wants his team to play in a half-court offense. Like, nah, he's embracing that shit.
And he literally embraced Luka. Like, he was so happy to see Luka, which I love disappointed in Black History Month. But the respect, I was like, can you imagine Michael Jordan coming up behind you, bear hugging you?
Yeah.
That would be so cool. It would be a great moment.
And then,
I thought that looking was
looking at Cat like
squash. The beef between the fans too. It's not about them. Even with Kobe and LeBron, it was never like what people were making it. So it's good to see that kind of thing. I like it because I'm all about the legacy of the game, and it's all great. Like, all those guys are great, and I like to debate or whatever, but all those guys are great. You can't take anything away from it. And just imagine how many people do anybody say is better than Jordan. For LeBron to even be in that conversation, you might hear somebody say Kareem, you might hear somebody say Wilt, you might hear somebody say LeBron, but the main person you hear that even has a case is LeBron, or if you do Kareem for the whole career kind of thing, like counting high school, college, all that. But so it's just amazing, or Bill Russell, but you don't hear many people even argued over Jordan. So that is an amazing accomplishment for somebody even to think it, or a contingent of people to think it.
Yeah, and I'm happy for him to have that moment while he's still an active player, and for at least Jordan to show that publicly. You know, I think that
it does. And it was so genuine too. That was the great thing about it. He was genuinely happy. It was the moment. Jordan had lived through that with the 50, and then he got to 75 and got to share that with the next guy. And I thought it was a beautiful moment. It was really good. I didn't expect anything. Like, I mean, you don't see. I mean, they might have done it, but I didn't see John Brady and Joe Montana do that.
Like, but being that Brady was a fan in the Niners growing up, Joe definitely.
Yeah, he doesn't hate him, but I'm just saying it just didn't. You know, it didn't. It's not the same. It's just not that. You know, so it maybe we'll one day we'll see Peyton Manning and Joe Burrow or something. I don't know. Or Peyton Manning and Brady.
Can I just say that the pageantry of the 75 was just like that. If there was one thing I am sad that I miss, it's that ceremony, just because it's great to see so many people that I grew up watching be honored. And then those that are not here also be remembered in the right light. And then just the brotherhood that is the NBA is by far the pettiest brotherhood of all sports. Clearly,
by all the drama that we saw. All that drama that we saw is so funny. And if you, and the new players of our that we lived through that are in it that weren't in the 50s, you know, most of the 50s, well, you probably weren't barely a little thing when the 50 came out. I think I was like in middle school or high school. But now that these guys, like the Ray Allens and the last 20 years guys, which is really cool to see them in it too. Even though ESPN, your list really sucks. And that's going to have to be addressed at a later date. They have Dennis Rodman in front of Russell Westbrook. Being disrespectful. I loved it. Come on, man. They had Jerry West is number 19. Like they really
logo.
Why does everybody disrespect Jerry West like this?
I have tried to figure that out for years like, myself.
What did he do to? He's like the nicest man ever. Kobe loved him. Shaq loves him.
Logo.
It's unbelievable.
Logo. His contributions to the game of professional basketball extend further than playing too. Like you have to respect that, man. That's crazy to
Bill Russell once said that Jerry West was the best person he ever saw play. Now he might have been mad at Wilt or whatever, but the fact that he said that. I mean, come on, you can't disrespect that man. But anyway, they constantly disrespect Jerry West. We had some saltine on saltine crime. I shouldn't comment on it, but when Matt, I still can't say your name, Matty B, but when Matt comes to play, he is petty and he's looking for blood. And this has been going on for years. Sam's got a lot of unanswered DMs, but Sam sent a lot of unanswered DMs, but I don't know if we should take the route that Saltine's got to steal the show or the beef between the two of them. Or the toss-up Tuesday question that Rehan asked, who gets under people's skin more, Sam? He used another word, but I forgot what word he used. Sam or Jay Holland? You can go where you want to go with it.
For the sake of the culture, I mean, this is clearly very reminiscent of what it's like in real life. Like, we finally get our moment, and then white people got to make it about them. Which, I mean, I'll be honest, you know, Sam does have a knack of doing that from time to time. I don't know if he knows he's doing it or what, but he likes to relate to people, and he tries to relate to people in everything. And I mean, you know, you meet people like that in life. So he gets bashed a lot for it. But Matt just took it to another level. And as a long-winded person who likes to rant and write dissertations and diss tracks on folks, this was by far the most waste of talent I've seen in a long time. Why would you waste your bars on Sam, man? Like, I mean, shit. You don't need to say all that.
He has never really gone off on him. He just, something just hit him and he went off. But
where it came from, right?
What?
It came from Mike Grimm's post about this is a fraternity and this is a frat.
He said something like Sam pandering or something.
And
I didn't follow. Okay, so I didn't follow it after that. I'm trying to be, because I don't want to just jump on the pile and beat up on Sam like sometimes it happens. But I will say Sam is a good guy. He just wants people to like him, and like we all do. And sometimes that could be.
I don't give a fuck if you like me or not. Let's clarify that real quick. I don't care.
I mean, you want some people to like you.
Jesse, I want Jesse to like me.
Jesse is people. You know, I want person. I want Megan to like me. Megan.
There you go.
There we go. Megan. All Megan right. Did some work today. But so you know, people express themselves in different ways, and they have different way. You know, everybody. I mean, I know that I get on people's nerves and I'm obnoxious. I just embrace it and market it. You know, not everybody can do that. So it becomes more difficult to deal with that kind of person. They're not bringing something to the table as far as like what I do with the brand. So in second,
hold on. Before we go though, I mean, he do got some bars in this disc though. He got some bars. Also, I want to say for the culture, Brother Farrakhan would be very happy with some of these things that you said.
And yeah, awesome. Oh gosh. Go ahead and give me some examples, sir.
Well, let's see, a fat, well-to-do Jewish kid. That probably would definitely come through for Mr. Farrakhan.
Like that.
Sam, your starring role is Annie in your synagogues. 2003 adaption does not count. Would probably ring a bell and get a couple amens out.
Oh, I didn't see you see this. I scanned it. I would never ever bring up you getting catfished by a 75-year-old.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I didn't see that one.
That
one was near and dear to me as well. Cause I was that like, hurt. Damn. Although, Matt. Hey, look, bro, I'm also not going to let you slide for just assuming that it was Nigerian. Okay? they have progressed. They don't catfish people for like relationships. They catfish them about their pit bulls. All right. So tighten up.
They don't still do the relationship scam.
I don't think they do. I don't think those are Nigerians. I think those are Jamaicans.
Oh, I think the Nigerian, but the Nigerians a lot of times too was the inheritance money too. That was France and all that kind of stuff.
I feel like we can make jokes about Africans. They don't like us. Why? I mean,
and they make jokes about us ripping us off. Well, not us, but it's usually white folks that they ripping off. But the scammers making rap videos about scamming Americans. So I don't blame it. I mean, I know that sometimes they're doing it to lonely people and suckers, but you know what? In the end, if you're doing a relationship, you're wrong. But if you get scammed for money, you send somebody $10,000 so you can get $100,000, you're greedy.
We're also never allowing Sam to debate any fucking thing in this group.
No. I didn't even because we'd already kicked him out like at the end of what, December or something. So I didn't even kick Sam out this month for Black History Month. I thought about it, and I got his brother at arms, so I felt bad. So I didn't knock him down this week.
I was gonna kick him out, but he makes white people more upset just being there. So
that's true too. He is upsetting it. Wait a minute. He says no. The four major sports. No, Sam. WWE is not one of them. I'm offended by that remark.
Oh, that I actually chuckled a little.
Oh, he said I will consider. Bring it back to the debate series with the loser leaves town. He did have a lot of fire. There's a lot of fire and there's a lot of one in this. I suggest that you guys, Maddie B's post. I don't want to pin it, but you know, I'm feeling here I am. My soft spot for Sam is coming back. It went away, but it's back. But anyway, Sam's a good guy. Everything.
Oh man, I ain't going that far.
I still got 6 days. Weakening. I need Sam,
your boy, he gonna gentrify your fucking group in 6 days.
I met this chick, this white girl. So I think that's messing.
How many times have I told you gotta separate the two, bro? Just cause you're in the white women don't mean you have to be nice to white.
No, I do separate two, but I'm saying that just make my resolve. You know, you can't be radical and talking to white girls. Not for real, bro.
That is behind every black man that we've ever looked up to.
Farrakhan, Malcolm X, not the true blues. Not the true blues. Pork, no white women.
That's what they tell us. That's what they tell us.
The radicals, man. When they all pass away,
there's always a story.
That's the preachers. The Nation of Islam. The Black Panther Party. Those people, you won't see a white woman very often. There's always something going
on. Sam's a ginger, so it doesn't count. Like, you could be mean to him. Everybody's mean to him. That's probably why he's not light, which is unfortunate.
Second month energy, my friend and yours, Chase Howell. I had to kick him out of the group. And I told a story how it's cool to be with the black folks until it's inconvenient. And if you've ever seen Chase's church, it is on television on channel 12 on Sunday mornings. And that while they might not have a banjo, it's the worst singing I've ever heard at any church. And I've been to a lot of different churches. And what'll happen is I'll get sleepy because I wake up early or whatever. And I always watch Meet the Press, no matter what. I've watched Meet the Press since I was 18 years old, every Sunday. It comes on after Meet the Press in Richmond. You know, I'm no longer in Richmond, but it comes on after Meet the Press. And sometimes I'll fall asleep and I'll wake up to that badass singing and I'm too sleepy to get the remote. You could torture the terrorists with that shit.
I've only watched Meet the Press once in my life when we were too poor to afford like cable television. So I wouldn't know anything about that. All I know is whenever I go visit Chase, his homeowners association sends out a email about suspicious folk in the
neighborhood. They definitely have that neighborhood app. They're talking about you.
Every time.
Now, and the caption I put is a very good show. What I suggested to you, anybody that hasn't seen The Righteous Gemstones, check it out. It's HBO. Very, very good. Very, very good. My boy, I really like him. Josh Stone, had to get him. I let him last a little longer. He's the whitest looking motherfucker I've ever seen in my life. So I had to cut him on just the basis of that. Hopefully he'll be back in the group very soon. And I had to do it to the homie.
He better come back, even though he looks a lot like Jim Harbaugh, which is unfortunate.
He does a little bit, doesn't he?
Yeah, I just noticed that too.
And intentionally funny. He's very witty. So
no, he's funny. He's funny as hell.
I love a witty saltine. He's
definitely in my fave five starting March 1st.
There's a lot of them that try to be witty, but he is actually witty.
Yeah, not during this month. That's enough praise.
Yeah, no, there's too much. I got Milton Chance Scott and Dylan Hall-Smith. Now, I don't think you were in the group, but I'm going to tell the story about Milton Chance Scott. But first of all, they should know, I don't like hip hop. I'm old school hip hop, rap, Marcus, whatever you want to call it. I'm not into it. Like I'm not opposed to it, but it's not my thing. So if I post it, it's a trap. Or I'm desperate for numbers, which I'll never be that desperate. So like Jay posts, part of the reason why he's an all-star, so he could post the music stuff in there because I wouldn't let it through. So I'm never gonna post hip hop, but what I won't have, it still belongs to my people. What I won't have is Saltine's commenting on it. No, it's for our music. Even it's for us. Even if I don't choose to partake, I still know the culture. I still grew up in it. I it's like if you become a vegan, you still know about Black cookouts. So no, I will not accept it. So both of them took the bait, Dylan and Milton Chance Scott, of commenting. I said, no Black man wants to hear Saltine opinions on hip hop or rap ever. But in the second month, nah, we ain't having it. It was about who was the white rapper they were talking about.
Was that the Jake Harlow or whatever?
Yeah. Yeah. So they should know.
Kanye
said it was top five or some shit. Kanye is high, yeah. or whatever.
But I don't mind his sound. Like when I've heard him when I've heard songs by him or him feature on people's stuff, I don't have a problem with it. But yeah, I mean, I'm not going to have any white man in my top five unless there's five options and they're all white.
You can't give Eminem? You're not giving Eminem any love? Well, it is February. That's not even.
I don't know. I mean, I like Eminem. I like Eminem, but he's not in my top five. But that's just me.
Anyway.
I don't think he would be in a lot of like people who listen to hip hop. Like if you take it back to the grassroots and come all the way through the generations, there's no way he's in your top five.
I mean, there's obviously that bias. It's hard to tell. There's a lot of bias against him.
But Dylan's also down for the culture, and his significant other is my homie. So I almost
did that, but I didn't do it.
I will not be saying anything bad.
So I almost muted him just for that. But I didn't add that. I let it go.
I would have had to come to his aid on that one and be like,
he's nice guy.
Not this one.
I didn't do it.
He's with me, not this one.
So I thought about that too. So I let that one go. The funny story, Milton Chance Scott, before your time, I believe, it was really weird. And I think I kicked Grant Bollinger out. I know you like him, but he's a fucking racist. And for me to say a white person is a racist.
I always argued with Grant for being racist. I always argued with Grant for being racist.
Oh, well, you start like you sell out. What about baseball? You always do that.
He was a Niner fan. I mean, he's a Yankee fan. I don't like them fuckers.
Whatever. But I saw too much fondness. You were tagging him and stuff too much. Anyway, there was a debate about something, and Milton Chance Scott says something like, "Why don't I suck your dick if I'm wrong?"
I remember that. I was in the group there.
And after we just went crazy about it for like a day, Dalton is his friend. He comes back and says something like, he lost his kingdom or lost his clan in Clash of Clans, so he wasn't himself.
Yeah, I remember that.
That was the craziest thing I've ever seen in my entire life on the page. And
besides, that was the whitest thing.
That in most of the world, it's okay to have underage girls. That was up there.
Yeah, whatever happened to him?
Well, they demanded I cut him.
Well, yeah, I know that, but I thought for sure he would like DM somebody and be like age, sex, language, location.
I just want to defend that. Yeah, I wouldn't DM anybody. I would deactivate my Facebook and try to figure out what go to witness relocation program. I couldn't even, I'm a teacher and I don't even want to be him in my group.
I checked the registry just in case.
The way he said it was really, really strange. Like, I understand some things that are cultural, but even, and they're exaggerating to some degree too, because even in those countries, like, that's not the common thing in most countries in the world. It's not common to grab a 14-year-old girl. It might happen some places, but it's not common. Most of the people in Saudi Arabia, they are not married to 14-year-old girls, you know, but you know, we're Americans, so we other cultures and assume and don't do research. But as I get out of that sticky topic, was there anything that we missed that you'd like to discuss today?
Let's see. No, not really. Other than Rondell left the group, right? You didn't kick him out, did you?
Huh?
Did you kick? Somebody asked me about that today, and I was like, bro, I've been banned since the Niners Rams playoff game, so I can't see like the itinerary stuff on this profile. Okay.
So let's put it like this. He withdrew his all-star subscription the day after I said what I said about his friend. So that's who you roll with? Fuck you.
Oh, all right. Well, I mean,
it was the day he did it before Keith did. So
I was just asking.
I'm just answering. I ain't saying. I'm just saying that's your crew. That's your guy. I kicked my team, Brett Buckle, too, in February. So that's your dude. You know, but whatever. So.
Oh, and Saltines that listen to this podcast, I know you guys take what we say to heart. Please stop and do some research on black fraternities so we can stop having this shit happen every single year.
We didn't even need to discuss the what's his name? The Asian guy that went after Bill Russell.
Oh, Frank.
We don't need to discuss that, but go ahead, do your fraternity thing. You should know
Q's and everything else that's associated with the fraternities, the African American fraternities, because a lot of your prominent athletes are a part of these fraternities.
And they do it a lot.
And they rep them on a regular basis. I can name five prominent Qs off the top of my head. They do it on a regular basis. So you should.
They don't know. They just think they're Sambo and they don't know what those Negroes are doing. That's what they think. And that's fine. Like, and I said some things about fraternities. I'm not a group person. So if people, like I say, things. I watch soap operas. I watch wrestling. And I'm fine with those things. So if you are fine with what you do, what I say shouldn't, I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about in general.
Yeah,
what I say, should, my opinion shouldn't bother you. Because if you enjoy it and you love it, I don't care if anybody thinks soap operas are stupid. I enjoy them. They give me a break. I don't care if anybody thinks wrestling is stupid. I enjoy it. So if they love their fraternity, don't get upset. But I really was just talking about Shaq looking like an idiot, not necessarily this. I have no problem with the signal or whatever, but the Saltines. And you know, everybody's got opinions.
I got, like I said, man, I ain't never had no issues with Q's. I've been in war with a couple of them. They good people by me always. So it is what it is. And I knew what you were saying. Like, I just think people just get up in arms about it. But next, I'm bracing myself once our historically black colleges get more mainstream. I'm bracing myself for them to be like, damn, I didn't know the bands were so good.
That's gonna come. That's gonna come. Yeah. Hopefully yeah. they've seen what do you call it?
Drumline.
Drumline, yeah, yeah. Hopefully they've at least seen Drumline, but probably not. It's no, so that was funny before how Nick different... Cannon.
That was before Nick Cannon said his anti-Jew stuff, so they probably seen it.
Yeah, maybe. But it's well, he still got his show. I mean, well, actually, his show came on after his daytime talk show. It's rough too. But I it's amazing how white people or saltines can live in a world and not know anything about black culture, but we can't. It's impossible for us to ignore. Like, I can't miss Billie Eilish. Like, I can't. Is that how you say her name? Billie Eilish. I can't miss her. I can't miss Taylor Swift. Like, and they're not. That's not my circle, but they're so prominent, you can't get out of it. But they can miss out on a lot of things that we. I know we're not. We're only 13% of the population, but still, some of it is willful ignorance.
Yeah, we 13% of the population, but when it comes to mainstream things, we're at least 65%.
Yeah, imagine us like not watching a movie because all white people are in it. Like they're not watching movies with all black people. You know what I mean? I guarantee you, more black people. And it, fine, this is February, so fuck it. More black people have watched all white movies than white people have watched all black movies.
I'm gonna do a Dolomite quiz tomorrow. see who answered.
Yeah, so it's cute though, and that guy's all right, Eric Smith, but he was asking to get banned. He was definitely asking to get banned.
He was on Jeopardy, man.
He was on Jeopardy.
They didn't have those questions on Jeopardy.
I know, right? And then you tried to give him the link. It is kind of a something that you have to experience to know.
Yeah, no, I gave him the fucking official link to just go ahead and look, and he's still asking questions. I'm like, bro, see, you didn't listen. This is sounds about white. You didn't listen to a goddamn thing I exactly. just said.
And you know what's so funny? The girl I was talking to, I said, she said something like, what did your friends say about me? And I said, I'm an alpha. They're not going to come out of their way towards me. You know, my friend, I was talking about female friend. I said, they're not going to come out, you know, because some kind of female friends are warned. Other female, my female friend's not going to do that because I'm an alpha. She said, like a frat. I said, why is this shit following me today? I was like, bro, then I was about to go on another rant. I was like, come on, man. This is following me all day long. But you are, yeah. You are so what you got planned? What you going to do with the podcast? Football podcast?
Football podcast. I'm going to link with Joe. We might recap the Super Bowl. It's kind of...
I need to get into the draft. I can't get into draft mode. I'm having a hard time.
Well, we're gonna
it also sucks.
We're going to do some draft stuff. My plan is to do a show where we talk about all 32 teams' like needs and
thought just about doing like that on the page.
Yeah, like just go through it
kind of thing.
Yeah, go through it real quick. Yeah, like an exit interview in the season thing, and then from there we will do some draft stuff because we got plenty of time. Also, shout out to the NFL for getting rid of that stupid ass bubble.
What were they doing?
They didn't care
about it the whole playoffs, but all of a sudden now they care about it.
Yeah,
and it's slowing down. What are they doing? I guess they're scared of losses. Yeah. All you do is make them sign a fucking waivers. Y'all don't care about them damn kids. Hmm. Anything else before we go?
Nothing else for right now. I have to do some thinking and retooling of my videos on Twitter with my Fingerworks app, which I'm still working through.
They've been good so far. They've been pretty good. But, you know, I didn't watch the trench one, but they've been good. I do like to see guys get beat in the trench. Well, see, I like pass rushing more than I like the
run blocking.
Blocking more than I like the run game. It just doesn't thrill me like the other stuff does. But here we go. 4, actively lazy. This is the commish, RC Carlton, asking you. You got a minute, fam?